The Lord be with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
When John the Baptist heard in prison of the works of Christ, he sent his disciples to Jesus, asking the question, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another?" And Jesus said in reply, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind regain their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news proclaimed to them. And blessed is the one who takes no offense at me." And as they were going off, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the desert to see? A reed swaying in the wind? Then why did you go out? To see someone dressed in fine clothing? Those who wear fine clothing are found in royal palaces. Then why did you go out into the desert? To see a prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'Behold, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, and he will prepare your way before you.' And I say to you, among those born of women, there has not been one greater than John the Baptist, yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." The Gospel of the Lord. Allow me one brief moment of compliment to our lectors. Most of you don't know, but our lectors are very diligent in preparing the proclamation for Sundays. And we have a professional speaking coach, Steve Dormier, who is here. And they go through a very rigorous training and evaluation. So thank you to our lectors who dedicate themselves appropriately to honor the Word of God and proclamation. I wanted to say that. I say that occasionally so that we don't overlook their dedication. We are introduced again today to John the Baptist. Now, last Sunday we met John the Baptist in the Gospel reading. He appears in all four Gospels. And the incident today, being in prison, is found in all four Gospels. You remember John the Baptist last week? He was in the desert proclaiming the coming of the Lord. And he was rigorous and he was judgmental. The axe is at the root of the tree, and those who don't come to conversion will be destroyed. He is judgmental. The Pharisees and the Sadducees come and he said, "You brood of vipers, who told you that because you are Abraham's children, you would be saved?" He is severe, he is rigorous, he is binary, it's black and white. He's an ascetic, and he's preaching an ascetic doctrine in anticipation of the coming of the Lord. And as we spoke last Sunday, while he is introducing the Lord, he doesn't know Jesus. He does not know the proclamation that Jesus will make in his messianic mission. He just knows who Jesus is to point him out, but he does not know the life and the proclamation that Jesus will make. He's certain. He's confirmed in his belief. There is no question about the truth of what he has to say. And now he goes through a transformation. In today's gospel, we're told he's in prison. And now he begins to wonder, "Have I made a mistake? He begins to doubt that the person he proclaimed as the messianic one may have been incorrect. Had he wasted his life? Had he misunderstood his mission? Had he failed in the sacrifices he made? Were they empty and without meaning? He is now caught in a crisis of doubt. He's in darkness. He wonders if Jesus is the real Messiah. His crisis comes because of what he heard about Jesus. For he proclaimed in the desert that in order to meet the Messiah, you must be converted first. Unless you go through your conversion, you will not meet the Messiah. And now he hears, when he is in prison, that Jesus is healing the unworthy. He's giving sight to the blind without them being converted. He hears a new message, and the message is, Jesus says, go and tell John what you see and what you hear. That unworthy people are welcome. The outcast has a place in the kingdom. The sinner is welcomed. Those who are struggling in life are called to follow Jesus. He calls imperfect people. Conversion doesn't happen before you meet the Messiah. Conversion happens after you meet Jesus. And that's what disillusions John. John was the one that said, unless you're sinless and unless you're perfect, you are not ready for the Messiah. And Jesus says, not true. I call you in your imperfection. I'll call you in your sin. I'll call you in your blindness. I'll call you when you're struggling. I'll call you when you're an outcast. Come to me. I will give you life. And after you have received the touch of Jesus Christ, the healing touch of the Lord, then conversion will happen. It doesn't happen first. That's the crisis John has. In some ways, we still have this kind of crisis in the church, that unless you fit in, unless you're all holy, there isn't a place for you. I mean, so many unholy people will show up at Christmas. I mean, well, all the sin, they think we're not sinners. I'll tell you, you've heard me say before, I tell people who are struggling out there, if you're a sinner, come on over. You'll feel familiar around here because we're all sinners. If you're not a sinner and you're perfect, come on over because you'll raise the standard. Watch the proclamation of Jesus Christ. Go back and tell John what you see and what you hear. In 1963, Leonard Bernstein wrote a symphony called Kaddish. Kaddish is a Jewish prayer ritual which appears in almost all the synagogue gatherings. There's a section of it dedicated to prayers for the dead. I used some of it here a week or 10 days ago when we had a funeral here for a man who was Jewish. And this extraordinary symphony so impressed Jacqueline Kennedy. She was a close friend of Bernstein, and she went to Bernstein, she asked if he would write some memorial dedicated to John F. Kennedy. And he did, he wrote a mass. And the mass is very traditional, deals with the Tridentine mass, there's a lot of Latin in it, there's a lot of polyphony in it, some Gregorian chant. And he wrote this, and he dedicated this to the memory of John F. Kennedy. It was first performed at the Kennedy Center for Arts in Washington at the opening of that center in 1971. There's an astounding incident at the end of this. In this moment of drama, a priest is carried aloft by the people in all the splendor of his vestments, ornate vestments, in the glory and the triumph of the priest. He's carried aloft, and he's holding in his hand, raised up, a glass chalice. And in one moment of drama, the pyramid carrying him collapses. The chalice is thrown to the ground and breaks into pieces. And the lights go out, and when we come back, the priest is standing there barefoot in blue jeans and in a t-shirt. And a children's choir sing, "Laude, laude, laude, praise, praise, praise." And in this moment of revelation, the priest stops. And in a prolonged way, he looks at the broken glass. And he says, "I never knew that broken glass could be so bright." It's a whole teaching about life. It's a teaching about you. It's a teaching about me. Do we have to go through an experience of darkness? Do we have to doubt before we believe? Only the one who has failed will understand forgiveness. Only the leper needs to be healed. Only the one who is shut out needs hospitality. What does this mean to us? Who can witness discipleship in Jesus Christ? And who can proclaim Jesus as Lord and Savior? Only the sinner. Only the one who is wounded can speak about a healing Christ. Only the one who doubts can be drawn into an increase of faith. Only the one who has walked through darkness can understand the light of Christ. In some way, it touches every one of us. It certainly touches my life. And I have walked through darkness, and I have seen the light of Jesus Christ. And I have failed, and the Lord has called me, and I have sinned, and God has forgiven me, and I have understood the Messiah, the true Jesus Christ, not the one first proclaimed by John the Baptist, one of severity and one of judgment, one of destruction, but a Jesus Christ of love, a Jesus Christ who welcomes all people, a Jesus Christ who says, even though John was great, greater than any man born of woman, somebody born in the kingdom of God is greater than he. That's you, and that's me, touched by the Messiah in new life. So, do we have to go through an experience of darkness or failure or sin? Do we have to walk through doubt in order to believe? Listen to the Word of God, because only the one who has gone through darkness can truly know the power and the person of the Messianic Jesus Christ. Amen.